Brilliant, thank you. It's great to be thinking as all ages together this morning. In our reading from Chris just now, we heard about some lost sheep. They're not actual sheep, but they're people. The people Jesus meets as he travels around teaching the good news of God's kingdom, that Jesus came so we can be forgiven. Verse 36, the people Jesus meets are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And we've just had that short video clip to help us understand a little more about those sheep. Perhaps you remember the words stressed out, strained, anxious, burdened, vexed, troubled, agitated, distraught, worried. These are lost people. So much going on in their lives, so busy, too busy, trying to make money, find security, buy houses and cars or donkeys, save enough for when they finish work. They're trying to make and keep friends. They're trying to be good people. All the things they think will make them happy. And it's interesting, the people are harassed, we heard in the clip, chasing after all the things they think will make life better. The people Jesus meets are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Let me ask here, if you've got the answer, just unmute yourselves and shout out to us. Who knows what praying is? What is prayer? What is praying? If you want to give us a big shout out.
Speaking to God.
Speaking to God. Who was that? Marilyn? Hillary. Well done. Fantastic. Yeah. Speaking to God. And most of us know what praying is. But there's a real difference between knowing about something and doing it. I won't ask anyone to answer this out loud. Here's a question. Do you pray? Do you pray? If so, what for? And there are lots of things in the Bible God says are good for us to pray about. We've got a slide now. Sometimes we use S-T-O-P. Sometimes we use stop to help us. S-T-O-P. Sorry. Thank you, others, please. It's a really good way to make sure we say sorry and thank God and to pray for others and not just ourselves. I want to think about the last two verses of our passage this morning, verses 37 and 38, what we've called the other Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer for others. In fact, a prayer for lost sheep. Jesus gives his disciples an others prayer and a please prayer, all in one. In verse 36, the people Jesus meets are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And it's not much different today. The world's full of lost people, people who need to hear the good news of God's kingdom, that as we trust in Jesus with our lives, we find forgiveness and hope and rest and lots of other amazing things. And that's not just for people in other countries. The people Jesus meets are the people of Israel. Verse 35, Jesus is teaching in the local churches or synagogues. It's the people all around him in his own country. Jesus is with the people of Israel. Jesus is teaching people who already know about God, who go to worship God regularly or at least sometimes. People who would say, yeah, I'm following God. Maybe today they'd say, yeah, I'm a Christian. They may well even go to church regularly. And there's also a little poke at the leaders of God's people too. Like sheep without a shepherd, writes Matthew. God's people had shepherds. God's people had leaders. The Jewish leaders were the shepherds of God's people. The problem is they were rubbish shepherds. They didn't do the shepherd job of protecting the sheep very well. In fact, some of the shepherds were even leading the sheep astray. And so Jesus gives his disciples another prayer to pray. We've got another slide now for a moment. I grew up in East Anglia where the fields are flat and you can see for miles and miles around. Have you seen the combine harvesters out in the fields in the summer months? Just like that one. Verse 37, Jesus sees a harvest full of people like lost sheep, waiting, ready to hear the good news of God's kingdom, that as we trust in Jesus with our lives, we find forgiveness and hope and rest and lots of other amazing things. But there aren't enough workers to do the job. The workers are few, Jesus says. There aren't enough shepherds. There aren't enough people to bring in the harvest. And some of the workers in the job are probably more trouble than they're worth, if we remember what Matthew's just told us. So what do we do? What does Jesus want us to do, sat here now, this morning? Well, in one way, harvesting is a job for all of us to do. Anyone who's a Christian, who's trusting in Jesus, it's our job to tell others about Jesus and to live for him, and to help them live for him. Wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, that lots of people might repent, turn and trust in Jesus themselves, and go on living for Jesus. If you're a Christian here, there is a harvest of people waiting. Well, another thing we might consider is becoming a worker whose full-time job it is to harvest the fields. Someone set aside for full-time Christian ministry. If you're a Christian here, have you ever thought about that? But neither of those are the main thing Jesus wants us to do from this passage. Look at what Jesus says first to his disciples in verse 38. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask. Ask the one in charge. Ask God to send out workers into his harvest field. This passage isn't so much about us all speaking to people about Jesus and encouraging them to live for him, though we must all do that. And nor is it so much a call for us all to become full-time workers, which some of us may do. Mostly, it's a call for us all to pray for full-time gospel workers, for more workers to bring in the harvest, and for them as they do their jobs. And a call then to make sure we properly support those who are doing that job. More workers, and effective, fruitful, faithful workers for the harvest. Imagine what happens if all the combine harvesters were to break down. Imagine what would happen if there were no workers over the summer. You can unmute, you can shout out, tell me what would happen if there were no workers to bring in the crops over the summer months.
Have any food.
We wouldn't have any food. Brilliant, Hilary. Why would we not have any food?
It would all still be in the field.
It would still be in the field. And what would happen to the food that was in the field that was not harvested?
It would rot and die.
It would rot and die. Brilliant. We've got three slides here. Look at these things. Rotten, mouldy things. We've got rotten strawberries. We've got a next slide. We've got mouldy peaches. And finally, black wheat. Horrible. What a waste. Like going to the fridge and some of those bits are all old and mouldy and you have to throw them away. No wonder Jesus has compassion on the crowds, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The need is urgent because ripe fruit becomes rotten if it isn't harvested. And that has eternal consequences when we're talking about people. There's a great opportunity for harvest around us in our schools, in our homes, in our local communities, especially our Alderbrook community where we've been growing relationships these past years. That there's more opportunity around us for harvest than we could ever gather in. Even if we were all working as full-time gospel workers, there is no lack of opportunity. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus commands us to pray, the other Lord's Prayer, as we've called it. If our hearts know Jesus' compassion for lost souls, then pray. Pray mainly from this passage that God would raise up workers to go into the harvest field. Full-time Christian workers, be praying for full-time Christian workers and be praying for them. That faithful workers might be plentiful and persevere in the gospel. And pray for your workers here now in our churches at St. Richard's and All Saints that we would prosper and persevere in our work for the gospel, whatever and wherever that might be. In prayer, we reach out to the Lord of the harvest, the God of the universe. In prayer, we get the help of the Holy Spirit. Everything else we do as Christians and as a church, evangelism courses, events, one-to-one conversations, giving our money, taking on or raising up workers, whatever it is, they're really good, they're really important, but they're of far less impact than prayer. We can do many things, but the first thing, the thing for us to do from this passage is to ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The other Lord's Prayer, as we've called it, and we will do that now. We will pray. Father God, we thank you for the good news that trusting in Jesus, we can be forgiven, no longer lost sheep, but harvested into your family. We pray that we might each be involved in harvesting for you. But we pray now, most of all, that you would raise up and send out workers for this job of harvesting, that people might consider taking on that full-time role. And we pray too for those we know and love and support in this role, that we might be able to support and encourage them better in this year ahead, and for them, for fruitfulness in their work, as people turn and trust in the risen Lord Jesus, and so find new life in him. Amen.